It's Saturday, the 20th of June, day 91. One of the most interesting things about the pandemic is how the tech giants were caught napping by it. When the moment arrived and the world realized that for the time being it wouldn't be safe to have people congregating in offices, and that everyone who could should work from home, a strange thing happened. The share price of a company nobody outside of the tech world had ever heard of went up by, I think, 24% in a single day. That company was Zoom. It was founded in 2011 by an engineer named Eric Yuan, a former Cisco engineer, who left to found a company that would build an online conferencing tool that was easy to use. He took 40 of his engineering colleagues with him as he left, and they built the software and launched it in 2013. By June the following year, they had 10 million users. In 2017, Sequoia, the venture capitalist firm led by Michael Moritz, a Welsh wizard and former journalist, invested $100 million in the company, an investment that made Zoom a so-called unicorn, that is to say, a private company valued at over $1 billion. Zoom floated on the stock market in 2019 at an initial price of $36 a share. By the end of trading that day, the price had risen by 72%. So clearly there were people in the investment community who thought it had prospects, but they could not have foreseen quite how good those prospects would be. Then came the pandemic, and suddenly the world needed a conferencing system that human beings, as distinct from corporate techies, could actually use. In one day in March, Zoom's software was downloaded 2.13 million times. The share price went from $70 to $150 at the end of March. I've just checked, and it now stands at $242 a share, which makes the company worth $70 billion. Now that's serious money, of course, but actually Zoom is still a minnow compared to the big five tech companies, four of which have at one time or another recently had market caps exceeding $1 trillion. What's interesting to me about this story is the way it undermines a myth that those same tech giants and their camp followers in the media assiduously foster, namely the idea that they are matchless innovators and should therefore not be interfered with by clueless regulators. Of course, innovation and ingenuity are not entirely unknown in Silicon Valley. But what's extraordinary is the way in which the tech giants have grown not by coming up with radical in-house innovation, but simply by acquiring the small innovative startups, which are unfailingly the real source of innovation in the industry. As a case study, take Facebook. It's grown to its current bloated valuation largely by making a series of astute acquisitions which would never have been allowed if regulators were not asleep at the wheel. The first of these was Instagram, a company with 13 employees, for which Facebook paid $1 billion in 2012. This acquisition, however, was dwarfed by the company's next purchase of WhatsApp in 2014 for $21.8 billion. This for a company that in the year before had lost $138 million on just $10.2 million in revenue. If you're an accountant or an investor, you might say that these were shrewd investments by Facebook. And in one sense, they undoubtedly were. But you can't use them as arguments for the company's technical creativity. Facebook bought Instagram because it had invented a new way of doing social photography and had an app much better than the one Facebook had developed internally. And it bought WhatsApp because it offered a uniquely usable service and was attracting users much more quickly than Facebook itself could. Which brings us back to Zoom. When the pandemic struck, none of the big tech companies, Apple, Google, Microsoft, Cisco, despite their supposed technical capabilities, none of them had an online conferencing product that came anywhere near matching what Zoom had developed. And although since then they've all been frantically scrambling to catch up, none of them, in the opinion of this user who has tried them all, are anywhere near as good. Zoom had lots of deficiencies at the beginning, for example, in not having proper end-to-end encryption. But it has been impressively responsive and nimble in responding to criticism and improving the product more or less continuously, and leaving the others in the dust. So you can guess what's coming. Sooner or later, one of the tech giants will try to acquire Zoom. And when that happens, we will learn if our governments have learned enough from recent history about how tech companies conceal their own inabilities by buying up innovative potential competitors to stop such an acquisition.